Next case is Connecticut Yankee Atomic Power Company et al. Versus the United States, 2025-1395. Mr. Faulkner, when you're ready.
May it please the Court. A breach can cause damages, but also confer benefits. That's the situation presented here in this appeal. There's no dispute that the Yankee sites and nuclear decommissioning trust funds continued to exist during the claim period because DOE did not perform. This situation, which is somewhat unique and new, caused the Yankees to incur costs during the claim period, but it also provided a benefit in the form of investment gains caused by the breach.
So if we agree with you here, then what happens in the next case when the NDTs of the Yankees, let's say, lose $180 million? Can they add that to their damages claim against the government?
Your Honor, if the NDTs were to lose damages, and I think that distinguishes this case from Dominion Resources, the Yankees could submit a claim for damages. Whether that would be timely in the next claim period or whether that would have to be submitted when DOE performs, I think, is an open question. But certainly, the utilities have been submitting claims based on increased decommissioning costs or even damages associated with the NDT.
Right, but to be clear, you're agreeing on behalf of the government, if I'm following you correctly, that if we were to agree with the government's position here, then in the next case, if it just so happened that the investments, the returns on the investment in the NDTs went down $180 million in that period, the Yankees could add that $180 million to their damages claim, and at some point they would be able to collect it from the government.
I do not agree that they would be able to collect it. My point was they could make a claim for those damages.
Well, if the government can benefit, which is your argument, from the investment gains, why doesn't it logically follow that on the other side, the Yankees shouldn't have to bear the risk of the investments declining?
So that would be, I think, adjudicated at the end when DOE performs. You would have essentially two sides to the ledger, and you could have, in that sense, whatever liabilities or whatever damages there were for the government's breach from the delay in picking up the spend.
Why would you adjudicate that piece of the end and not arguably adjudicate the piece you're trying to adjudicate before us at the end?
So in this case, there's actual costs that were paid during the claim period, and that has to be accounted for under LaSalle.
Yeah, but under Judge Stark's hypothetical, if the prior year or the subsequent year there's a loss in the investments, why aren't we applying the same rules? If the rule you want, why wouldn't that apply to the reverse converse situation?
So it's unclear that those damages could be recovered during that claim period. I think that would have to be addressed at the end, as opposed to this case, where there was actual damages that were covered by the actual investment gains during the claim period. So the issue is, here, if the breach causes damages, the costs, as well as a benefit in terms of the investment gains that actually paid for those costs, whether that has to be accounted for during the claim period itself.
Can I just ask you a more global question, if the presiding judge will be patient? There's a lot of talk about the history and who started and what. Tell me if this is right. This started as solely for purposes of decommissioning, but then in 2007, is there no more decommissioning going on, and we're just now finding storage for the spent fuel? Something happened in 2000, according to the briefs, 2007. So is there any more decommissioning going on?
So there's currently not any more decommissioning going on.
But is there the expectation that if everybody ever gets their act together and we have some place to send the fuel, then there will be more decommissioning going on?
Yes, Your Honor. So the remaining decommissioning would be to take apart the spent fuel pad, the concrete pad in which the casks are stored, and there's some buildings related to the current
storage.
What
is the money that's being collected now from the ratepayers since 2007? I think the briefs indicate there's something, IS something or other, that this money that was otherwise under a decommission fund is really being used predominantly for the storage piece of it. Is that right?
That's right, Your Honor. And 2 points on it. There's no more ongoing decommissioning charges being collected by any of the Yankees. Those were stopped by the latest in 2014.
But they're collecting for the storage?
There's no more charges being collected whatsoever from the ratepayers.
So there's just this fund sitting there.
Yes,
and
Your Honor.
What is the fund being used for? Is that to pay for the storage in any particular year until the government pays up what it owes as a result of this litigation? Is that the way it's supposed to work?
So in this case, the Yankees were able to obtain authorization from the NRC and FERC to use the funds for these ongoing expenses.
But they're supposed to only use the funds until the government pays up, and then the government comes in and reimburses the fund? These are just... These are innocent questions. I just want to find out what this fund is used for. Is it just, we need the money now for this fund, but then when the government comes in every 5 years or whatever and pays up, then they reimburse the fund for the money that's been extracted for storage?
So that's not what's happening. Most of that fund is going, most of the DOE litigation recoveries now are being sent back to the ratepayers. So I think our brief says about $395 million has been sent back to the ratepayers since the out-of-business date, so about 2010. So in essence, what's happening is the entities have become so massive that they're self-sustaining.
But they're becoming massive because of the funds that were put in by the ratepayers that are earning investment income.
That's correct, Your Honor. So the ratepayers...
That money's there.
Yes.
And is it never used? Is... just sitting there? I don't understand. And then when the government comes in, they're supposed to reimburse the ratepayers for the amount that's been expended on storage, and that's what they're doing?
So what's happening is, so first of all, for the decommissioning part, there's a sub-account for decommissioning that exists. So the anticipated cost of finishing up the decommissioning has a sub-account just for those funds, and those funds are set aside. So that anticipating cost of the final decommissioning after DOE performs is addressed in a sub-account, but then you have this other part of the decommissioning trust fund, and the Yankees are able to access that to pay for their ongoing expenses. So operationally, every month...
Storage.
For the spent fuel storage, yes, Your Honor.
Yeah, which is the money that the government is liable for under the litigation.
Yes, Your Honor.
Storage. Okay, so the government... The fund is there, it's expended for storage, and the government then, through the litigation, compels that the government reimburse the ratepayers for the money they use. That's what this litigation was about, right?
That's right, Your Honor. And so we don't dispute below that there was $145.
So where does Yankee benefit from any of this? I mean, this is a weird situation. I've been in government for a long time, but I've never seen anything quite like this. The original regulations required that if there's excess money left, it gets paid to the ratepayers, right? So the system seems to be working the way it's supposed to be working.
So the ratepayers would receive, under regulations, any funds that exist after decommissioning, if there any exist. But the purpose of that decommissioning fund isn't to generate revenue for the ratepayers. The purpose is to ensure that there's a fund for the final decommissioning.
Oh, no, of course, it's not the purpose of generating, but it's a purpose for having the money. But if it turns out at the end of the day that they didn't really need the money, then the ratepayers get their money back, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
And why shouldn't that refund include, if I'm a ratepayer, I could have put my money in a CD and been earning 4% for 10 years. So why should I put this money in this trust fund and not be able to earn the benefit? This is not an additional amount. This is the money that investors would otherwise be earning with their money. Isn't that the money that the government is now trying to take away?
So
just answer me. Are we talking about the right fund of money?
That's the right fund of money, Your Honor. But our argument here is that these decommissioning trust funds realize these gains. Those gains are used to pay for the Yankees' expenses, which is the benefit. And then because they haven't actually...
How are they used to pay for the Yankees' expenses?
Every month they request reimbursement from the trustee of the decommissioning trust funds.
For what?
For their costs, for their monthly expenses. The Yankees go
for
to
the expenses in maintaining the trust.
Yes, Your Honor. Maintaining the trust and for the spent fuel storage.
But the basic fact is that the interest that's generated was intended for decommissioning expenses, not to mitigate And this was set up before the breach, right?
The trust funds were set up before the breach, yes, Your Honor. But as we've discussed, that purpose has changed, and that's why they're able. If there had been no breach, the Yankees wouldn't have been allowed to use these funds for the purpose they're using them now. They're able to use these funds for this.
I don't understand. You're just answering, what benefit does Yankee do? One of the benefits is it gets the money reimbursed for keeping the trust fund going. Well, that seems to be the cost that they're entitled to. So what else? And then you said the money for the storage. But that's the money for the storage is what this case started out being about, that they're not supposed to be liable for the storage. The government is supposed to be liable for the storage money.
Yes, Your Honor. In this case,
they're supposed to get reimbursed for the storage under the litigation, right?
The Yankees are?
Yeah.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
But what's happening here is we argue that they've been placed in a better position because they're able to use these investment gains to cover their operational expenses. What's happening is they're taking the DOE litigation proceeds and passing them through back to the ratepayers. And so far that's happened, it's been about $395 million, and the ratepayers have put in about $405 million. So the question is, at one point, is that a benefit that's only here because of the breach? So in other words, absent the breach, this money, these DOE litigation proceeds, would not be going back to the ratepayers.
You're right, I guess, in certain respects about that. But somehow, funds were established by people in government who seemed to know what they were doing. And those funds required that the utility charge the ratepayers money. And the regulations say that whatever is left over, the ratepayers get, perhaps recognizing that they were going to have their investments earning money for a while, just as they would have if they hadn't had to do this, and they would have been earning money on the investments if they hadn't paid them in. So the only benefit that we're talking about, right, is a benefit to ratepayers, which consists of the investment gain they got from keeping their money in the fund, which may have been precisely the same or even more if they had gotten to keep the money and put it in a CD, right?
No, respectfully, Your Honor, I think this case is about the benefit to the Yankees and whether they actually experienced.
But the Yankees aren't getting the benefit. You just said before the ratepayers are getting the benefit. The money in the investment fund that the government wants to offset its payment is the money that would otherwise go to the ratepayers, which is the money that was earned on the ratepayers' contribution to this fund, which was mandated.
Yes.
Correct?
That's correct, Your Honor, but the benefit here to the Yankees is that all their costs were paid by those investment gains. So they are responsible for paying for the spent fuel storage costs, and those costs were covered by these investment gains, and that's a benefit to the Yankees during the claim period because their actual losses were zero.
Well, they wouldn't have had, I mean, that's what, am I wrong? I mean, maybe I'm just wrong factually. I thought the Yankees under this keeping, the upkeep and the cost of the storage is supposed to be paid for by the government under this litigation. Isn't that the liability that the government absorbed in this case, that they're supposed to be paying for this upkeep and the storage facilities?
Yes, Your Honor.
What's wrong? It's not a benefit. It's what they're entitled to under the litigation, Yankee, that is, to get reimbursed for their costs of storage, right?
Correct, Your Honor. And our argument is, yes, this breach, they have those costs because of the breach, but there's also the benefit. And our argument is there's a benefit in the investment gains that actually cover their costs during the claim period, so they actually weren't damaged because...
But they're not going to get the investment gains. So we're not saying, it's not a contest between does the government get it or does Yankee get it. The contest is between whether the government gets it or it's sent back to the ratepayers as the interest that was the investment gain that inured from their contribution to the fund. Is that right?
But there's no expectation of an investment gain on that decommissioning trust fund money the ratepayers paid. The expectation was you put the money in the decommissioning trust fund and then it's going to be used for the purposes of decommissioning.
These litigations have been going on a while, and I guess we all anticipate they're going to keep going on. This argument that the government's making about mitigation of damages and an offset, I don't think was made in any prior similar litigation. And I think the argument from your friend is if we agree with the government here, then basically however long it takes for the government to take on this nuclear fuel The government may not ever have to pay damages again as long as the investments keep doing okay. Could you just help me with that? Are they right about those points?
Your Honor, so this is actually a unique case because the Yankees, their only business is to store spent. They don't have any operations besides these plants, so they would have been out of business. I think that separates it from other utilities that have other.
So at least for the Yankees, this precedent would apply going forward.
It would apply in this claim period and presumably going forward, yes, Your Honor.
And what about the fact that you have, is it true the government hasn't made this before, even in the Yankees cases?
That's true, Your Honor, and that's because it's a fact-specific argument that we're making, and it depends on the investment gains and how long that's been going on for. So we believe we asserted this time that was.
Thank you.
What's this new 15-year thing that's also introduced in the briefing? So we've got the first thing, it was just for decommissioning. Then in 2007, we moved it over to largely storage. And now what's this 15-year thing going on?
That's just to ensure that the decommissioning trust fund has adequate funds for the decommissioning. So they look at a 15-year funding and assurance requirement.
And the only decommissioning now, decommissioning is essentially done.
Yes, Your Honor.
Except for the decommissioning that will have to take place if they ever find a place for the sink research. And what is the status of this? I worked on Capitol Hill in the 90s. I lived through Yucca Mountain and all this stuff. What's going on with the storage?
DOE has not made any public statements on that issue, and I'm not authorized to discuss any of those policy issues.
Okay, why is there 15 years, though? Is there expectation that this is going to be done in 15 years?
The Yankees chose to use that funding approach. There was other funding approaches they could have used, but they chose this 15-year funding approach for whatever reason. And it does include not only the decommissioning, but it also includes the ongoing spent fuel storage cost, too. So that amount, the amount the 15-year funding insurance is meant to cover both those issues in the FERC filings.
Okay. Your time is up, but when you get up next time, could you – I'm going to ask both sides. There are so many cases cited in the briefs, and everybody says they help them and they don't hurt them. Could you just give me the three cases that you really think matter to resolving this? And if there's anything in the restatement that you think is significant, if you could just condense that for me when you get up again, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mr. Faulkner, we'll give you 3 minutes for rebuttal time. Ms. Stetson, if you need a little more time, we will provide that.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Kate Stetson. I represent the Yankee Utilities. I'm going to begin, Judge Prost, with your series of questions, because I think that you have put your finger on a number of the independent problems with the government's argument here. The government is making a mitigation argument. So essentially what it's saying is that by acting in some, by taking some mitigation action, remains to be seen exactly what that is, the Yankees have benefited from the government's long pending partial breach in a way that should relieve the government of their obligations to pay the Yankees. There are, of course, three independent problems with that. We identified them in our briefs. The first is that, Judge Lurie, as you suggested, this mitigation action, such as it is, the establishment of the Nuclear Decommissioning Trust, happened in the 80s. It happened long before the government's breach.
Go ahead.
Oh, I know you make that argument in your briefs, and that the Court of Federal Claims seem to hang their head that this is different. It doesn't persuade me, just because clearly things have changed. So the fund we've got now is for the nuclear – to store the fuel. There was no more decommissioning in 2007.
Right.
Yes, there may be a little piece of this that still deals with decommissioning, but we're talking about a fund to pay for storage, right? The complexion of this fund – and they called it even something else. They named it something else with IS something or other.
Judge Prost, the fund is still the Nuclear Decommissioning Fund, and FERC requires these Yankee utilities.
Substantially in character, because so for the past decade or so, it's operated for purposes of funding the storage facilities,
and not for
purposes of decommissioning.
I think it's changed temporarily in character, but as my friend on the other side conceded, at the end of this process, one hopes, These independent storage facilities, or ISFACs, will be decommissioned themselves. And what FERC requires is for the Yankee utilities, each of them, to have enough money in their trust funds to last 15 years of operations decommissioning.
These currently are principally about the storage and not the decommissioning. You got regulatory approval to use the NDTs for storage and not just for decommissioning.
Right.
It fully covered, plus more, your expenses for storage. And this case is all about 2017 to 2021, which is all about storage. If we have to assess the directness or the remoteness of the relationship between your mitigation and the government's breach, shouldn't we logically just focus on 2017 to 2021?
Judge Stark, even I could spot you the idea that if the idea here is the mitigation action was the Yankees seeking approval from FERC to change the nature of the nuclear decommissioning trust to one that could be a funding source, and that's all it is, for drawing temporarily money to pay for the storage, for the ISFACs, until the government pays them back, then if that's the mitigation action, I can accept that, and I still win for three different reasons. The second reason is one that you just mentioned, which is these funds are administered by a third-party administrator, Bank of America Mellon, I think. The independent investment manager is responsible for the investment decisions. The investment decisions are what give rise to the accretion of money in the funds. So when the question presented in the government's brief is whether the money the government owes the Yankee facilities should be reduced by investment gains caused by the breach, that is a bridge too far.
Yankee is the fiduciary.
Yes.
So it would have liability if the investment wasn't returning, it didn't have a significant rate of return, they could arguably be liable to.
Yes. That's exactly right. Yes.
So they're on the hook. If they have to absorb the loss, they get no financial benefit from the investment fund?
No, they get none whatsoever.
On the other side, and there's a lot of ink spilled on this, the annual reports or the whatever, that they do use this as an asset to offset liabilities, and that's the heart of companies and what they need and what they earn benefits from.
Mm. So, Judge Prost, this is something that came up in the government's reply brief, and I'm glad that you asked this question now so that I can address it. If you look at Joint Appendix 934, 963, and 989, you will find the annual reports that you asked about. That is the assets and liabilities sheet. And if you look further down that same page, what the government says is, oh, but these nuclear decommissioning trusts, over which the Yankees have no responsibility, are listed as an asset. Therefore, they must be benefiting somehow. If you look down to the end of the page, right below, right at the end, about four lines from the bottom, you will see the liability the asset retirement obligation.
Are you on 934?
934. That's Connecticut Yankees assets and liabilities. Look down to the bottom, about four lines from the bottom. You see a line that says asset retirement obligations. Ms. Pizzella, in her declaration in support of the reply below, which is the public version is document 103, the pages relevant here are pages 50 to 52. This, of course, isn't in the appendix because it didn't come up until the reply. Ms. Pizzella explains that asset retirement obligations, that liability, is the nuclear decommissioning trust, which the Yankees are fiduciarily obligated to return to the ratepayers under FERC regulations if there is money left over after the final decommissioning of the ISFACs occurs. So, Judge Stark, to go back to your very first question, what the government is asking here is essentially saying, because these investments have done so well, the Yankees, you know, really didn't need us to help cover their costs. They've got the costs covered by the ratepayers' money. And since the ratepayers have mostly gotten most of their money back, without, of course, any interest, to your point, Judge Prost, therefore the government should be off the hook. For a minute, Judge Stark, I was hopeful that maybe we had made great strides here in thinking that there would be some equality between those two arguments. Because, of course, as this Court said in Dominion Energy, if the government is going to argue that it should get the benefit of investment gain during a period where the utility has the use of its money, the government should have to bear the loss. If these utilities had not asked for and received permission to withdraw money temporarily, to borrow it from the Nuclear Decommissioning Fund in order to cover the cost that the government caused by virtue of its partial breach, the Yankee utilities, and this is in our brief and in the Graves and Pizzella declarations in the joint appendix, the utilities would have had to go back to the ratepayers for a separate fund to cover those ISPC storage costs.
Is that the way it works, though? Is the ratepayers contribute to a fund, and it sits there. But every year or whatever, when the money comes due to pay for the storage facilities, Yankee is required to pay that out, and then out of the decommission fund.
Yes.
And then with the assumption that the government's liability based on this old lawsuit and their contract liability is going to reimburse that fund on an annual basis or something.
Well, I mean, would that it were an annual basis. I mean, this, you know, as you pointed out, we're here suing on the years 2017 to 2021. That money is not yet in the Yankees' account, so it hasn't been returned back to the ratepayers.
But so the government's thing is that if not for the breach, this money wouldn't have been there. And so if there's profits being earned by the money while it's sitting there, those are the kinds of profits that should be used to offset the government's liability. Why is that not right as a matter of...
It's not right for a number of different matters of law, and it's also not right as a matter of precedent. That is exactly what the government argued in the Dominion Energy case. What the government said there was, you know, we breached, it's been a long time, because Dominion has had the ability to use the money that it would otherwise have to pay in the one-time fee it will owe at the end of the process. It's had the use of that money the whole time, therefore we should get the benefit of it too, because the Dominion has had that benefit. That is exactly the same argument here. But the reality is, what they're making is a mitigation argument without any sort of showing of a benefit to the Yankees. What you would need to show if you were the government is something more like Kansas Gas and Electric. So, Judge Prost, you asked for the short list. Here's the short list. Kansas Gas and Electric, LaSalle, from 2003. 2006 is also cited, but 2003 is the important one.
Yeah, but they use LaSalle too. So, but
they do, yes. And I'd encourage you all to look at LaSalle, because LaSalle is far more helpful to us. LaSalle is a classic substitute transaction.
Okay, let me just a side question, and I don't want to get any more cases that you think are critical. But insofar as the regulations, which have always been around, and I guess this is old, that the ratepayers get whatever is left over, it doesn't specify that they will get any benefit that inured during the time it was held. I mean, doesn't hurt you that much, but it would have been nicer for you if it had said the ratepayers will get what's ever left over, including any investment that has accrued as a result of their contribution or whatever.
Right.
We don't know that from the regulation. When they really wanted to just give the ratepayers back exactly what they put in that's left over and not the investment that's been earned in the interim.
2 points. The first is, as a matter of sort of rate-making process, the idea that a contribution to a utility will be subject to some kind of growth in investment value is part of that process. But more importantly, Judge Prost, this goes right back to the question that you asked my friend on the other side. These ratepayers have at this point contributed over $405 million into these trusts. If they hadn't had to do that, they could have taken that $405 million and invested it themselves. So while the regulation we're talking about, and this is 18 CFR 35.32A7, it says if fund balances exceed the amount actually expended for decommissioning, the utility shall return, mandatory language, the excess jurisdictional amount to ratepayers, which of course
includes any investment return.
Yes. Yes. I mean, there's exceptions that you can see in the contracts that are in the joint appendix where the Yankees have to pay for taxes, federal and state. They have to pay forward any charges that are scheduled for funding the Nuclear Decommissioning Trust. But at the end of the day, this is not the Yankees' money.
So another principle here is that the non-breaching party should not be placed in a better position through the award of damages than if there had been no breach. And I'm having trouble seeing why the Yankees are not sort of running afoul of that principle. You wouldn't even exist if it weren't for the breach, so one could first say it's a benefit to you to be in existence, I suppose. But that's
debatable. I think we could contest that, but
right.
Please.
But more importantly, you're at the moment $35 million or so better off than you would be had it not been for the breach, because the investment returns for this period are that much greater than what the expenses were. Why for the moment, for the 2017 to 2021 period, when that money has not been sent back to the ratepayers, are we not, if we affirm, making the Yankees better off than they would be had the breach all been cured before this period?
Two responses again, Your Honor. The first is the Yankees are not better off. The Yankees are simply using the money from the Nuclear Decommissioning Trust funds to cover temporarily the cost that they have had to incur because of the government's breach. There is nothing better off about that. If you look at a classic mitigation case like Kansas Gas and Electric, that's an example where the nuclear utility, because of the government's breach, chose to upgrade its storage at the time. It chose to re-rack its wet pool storage. When it re-racked, what it chose were racks that could accommodate a higher concentration of fuel. That let them save on fuel costs. That is a classic example of something that is to the benefit of the utility. This is the beginning of the end of it, this is just a funding source. There is nothing better off that the Yankees are before or after they pay and repay the money back to the account.
So what would happen if there were a loss in investments? If the market goes down, is Yankee the one that's responsible for that loss?
The Yankees and their wholesale customers would have to go back to the ratepayers, Your Honor. I mean, I had hoped for a minute that the answer would be the government would pick up the slack, but the answer is not, to Judge Stark's first question, that the government would step in. The Yankees,
and
the ratepayers.
And the what are the limits? Is there another huge statutory provision that defines the limits of what Yankee can ask of ratepayers?
No, I don't think there's a statute. I think that, each of these Yankees, and I apologize for the name, Your Honor, but that's what we're stuck with. Each of the Yankee utilities operates in a different state, Maine, Connecticut, Massachusetts. Each of them is subject, of course, to state rate-making and rate-making regulation. So depending on what the terms of those rate-making contracts are, if the Yankee utilities found themselves unable to draw from the Nuclear Decommissioning Trust Fund in order to pay temporarily for the costs of storage, because of the government's breach, they would have to go back to the ratepayers, to their wholesale customers, and to the ratepayers.
One final question, and that is, I mean, this is going on all over the country. This isn't unique to Massachusetts or the Yankees. And you outline in your brief, like, we've been doing this for decades, and now suddenly the government comes up with this.
That's right.
Thing. Is this going on elsewhere in the country? Maybe I should ask the government, but as far as you know, is the government just switched over to this litigation position with respect to all of the utilities?
As far as I know, the government is using this as a test case. It is not unique to the Yankees. There are many other nuclear utilities that have decommissioning trust funds. They're all required to. There are many other nuclear utilities that are storing their ISPCs on site.
And there are many that, because of the financial conditions, may have an up, sometimes maybe a down, but be up at this point?
Sometimes an up and sometimes a down. And the kicker is, if the government wins, as we say in our brief, the ratepayers will end up paying. The government is liable for this breach. It should pay for the breach.
Just one more, if I might. If the Yankees are in the position of really just a pass-through entity and always can go back to the ratepayers for however much is necessary, shouldn't we just be looking from the perspective of the ratepayers and not the Yankees? That is, how are the Yankees damaged by any of this if they can never gain from it either? It's really the ratepayers' perspective, perhaps, that we should be thinking.
I think there's a couple different moving parts here, Judge Stark. The Yankees are indisputably the entities that are responsible for the spent nuclear fuel, because the government hasn't picked it up. They can't fob off that obligation on anyone else. This court has said so multiple times. The Yankees are the responsible parties. They are responsible for curing the breach and keeping the storage on site. The Yankees have asked and received permission to temporarily borrow money from a fund held in trust for ratepayers. So our point here is, if you agree that the government actually gets to skim off the top of that fund, the ratepayers are the ones who suffer. That does not mean that the Yankees don't have any skin in this game. The Yankees are the ones responsible for maintaining these auspices.
Okay, you mentioned the Dominion Energy case, the Kansas Gas case, and LaSalle. Any other critical case?
I think those are the top three.
And anything in the restatement or anything?
The restatement, actually, I would commend 347 and 350 to you. 347 has to do with expectation damages. 350 has to do with mitigation. There are many, I can vouch, federal circuit court cases, most of them, of course, involving the either FERIA or the nuclear utilities. But if you and your chambers reads those cases, this is a remarkably different case. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Stetson. Mr. Faulkner has 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll begin with the cases and secondary authorities. I agree to restatement section 347. I'm looking at subsection E. The injured party is limited to damages based on his actual loss caused by the breach. McCormick, the Handbook on Damages, page 146. And that section gets to the Yankees' argument that somehow there haven't been any mitigation activities, because it describes how the breach can produce a benefit as well as cause damages. And it talks about how that's different than avoidance liabilities. So Professor McCormick discusses this head-on in his Handbook on Damages. I think it's Chapter 5, page 146. Also LaSalle, and that it embraces Professor McCormick's Handbook on Damages and discussed about how the breach can cause those damages and confer the benefit. And the final one would be Indiana, Michigan, which states that the court can't award future damages. In other words, the court can't award damages based on anticipated future non-performance. And that brings us back to the claim period here from 2017 to 2021, in which these funds continued to exist. They experienced investment gains, and those gains were actually used to pay for the cost during the claim period, such that there was no harm for the Yankees. There was also discussion about what would happen if there was no reimbursement in this case, or essentially was argued, okay, well, these funds, if we don't get these funds are used and they're going right back essentially to the nuclear decommissioning trust funds, and if we don't get reimbursed here, that could require us to go back to the ratepayers. But the 15-year funding plan with FERC doesn't depend on DOE litigation recoveries. So it explicitly says in the record that that funding plan doesn't depend on these recoveries. Not only that, but they haven't actually collected decommissioning charges since 2014 itself. So I think that kind of speculative harm about what might happen with the ratepayers isn't supported in the record. And the court also should not be looking at that sort of speculative harm because of Indiana, Michigan.
Are you doing this line, this strategy, this litigation strategy, in other places around the country, or is this, as your friend suggested, just a test case, first time, we'll see how it goes?
I won't characterize it as a test case. The government...
But is this the only case in which this is happening, or is this the only case in which it's being challenged?
I think right now, so Dairyland happened, of course, already, Your Honor. So that's one case. Palisades was another one where there was an argument for an offset. That's another case from the Court of Federal Claims. I think there's ongoing discovery in other cases involving nuclear decommissioning trust funds. I don't think those cases have gotten to the point of any sort of dispositive motion or motion in limine that would actually address these issues.
Counsel, This case is about spent nuclear fuel. I think your time is spent.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you to both parties. The case is submitted.
Thank you. The argument was very helpful. Thank you both.